Just in terms of, is it working?
I don't know.
Something will work. In terms of your family back home, who have you left behind?
I've left my wife. 48 years we've been married, and we have 5 adult children, and we have lots of grandchildren.
What prompted you to become a Christian in the first place?
My father had become a Christian when he was, I think he was 45 or 48 years of age. He came home and just announced that he'd become a Christian. A workmate of his had shared the gospel with him, had done that over a 12-month period. And my dad, who was a typical Australian bloke, had no time for Christianity at all, but he had become genuinely converted. So he asked me if I'd go to church with him on Sunday nights, which I did. But it wasn't until 5 years later that I heard the gospel. I'd probably heard it before, but it wasn't until it had that impact on me and I realised that I was the sinner that Christ died for.
Obviously, your dad was one significant person in your life, but can you tell us about someone else, perhaps, who's influenced you over the years and what you've learned from them?
I think the principal, the theological college where I attended in Sydney, had a great impact on me because everything he believed stemmed from an understanding, an intelligent reading of the Bible. And he taught us by practice that God says it in his word, that settles it in our mind. Yeah, that was a big influence on me.
You've been a Christian for many years. Can you tell us something that you know about God now, but perhaps you didn't know or didn't appreciate so much early on in your Christian life?
That the freedom that we have as Christians, I think the freedom from the world, from myself and from the devil, and the freedom I'm going to talk about tomorrow night, the freedom from the fear of death, but the great freedom to be free from the fear of living under fate or luck or chance. Because as I get around and talk to people, a lot of people are living in the light of fate, and fate is a merciless master. And I know that everything in life, I have this conviction, because the Bible teaches this, that everything in life that happens, happens because it comes to me from the loving hand of an all-powerful Heavenly Father. And that is a great freedom to know that I'm not subject to fate, that everything is coming to me for good. So there's a Hebrew word which we translate why. So in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? But the word why can actually equally be translated for what? My God, for what? What is the purpose in this that you have forsaken me? And I think that's the perspective which I think is a great perspective, that nothing will happen to me. Things which I choose and things which I don't choose, which are not ultimately for my good to make me more like Jesus. I think that's the abiding issue. And I think that gets bigger the older you get.
Can you help us think about, for a second, staying keen over a long period of time? There's that verse in the New Testament, isn't there? Keep your spiritual fervor, easier said than done. What have you found helpful over the years, or what help can you give to us in terms of how you keep a spiritual focus?
Well, that is an interesting verse, Romans 12:11. Maintain your spiritual fervour, but the verse doesn't finish there. It tells you how to maintain your spiritual fervour, because it says, Romans 12:11, maintain your spiritual fervour and your zeal by serving the Lord. So get involved in Christian service, get involved in Christian ministry. And I think at that point, that will maintain your fervour and your zeal. And that's what the verse says. Keep your spiritual fervour, maintain your zeal by serving. And so it's terrific to go along to your minister. I've never found a pastor who rejects this and say, look, what can I do here? And a pastor will say, great, here's something for you to do which will fit your gift mix.
Wonderful. I say as a pastor. Father's Day, we just have Father's Day over here. I don't know if you have in Australia.
Yes.
You're a father of several. Could you top tips for fatherhood or something you think is major in the Bible on fatherhood? What can you tell us?
Be prayerful. be prayerful for your kids and realise that with a whole new set of grandchildren, you've got great opportunities both by word and deed to affect the next generation. And I think that's a tremendous privilege. If God gives you the gift of being a father, then impress on your children that life really is about loving Christ and serving him. That's what it's all about. And then when your grandchildren come along, they're more likely to listen more to you than your children did, because they're probably not listening so much to their own parents, but because you're older and they can't be so familiar with you, they're likely to be far more respectful and polite to you. So they will listen, or they'll appear to listen. And so I think it's a great opportunity to bring home the truth of the gospel to your grandchildren too.
Lastly, I just see on the bookstall, there's this little book here by one David Cook. Can you just tell us about this, why you wrote it and what you hope people will get out of it?
Well, I wrote that because Our Daily Bread asked me to write it. But I think John's Gospel is a great gospel. And I think when I became a Christian in 1967, someone gave me a copy of a little book through Scripture Union called Invitation to Live, which is no longer available. And I found reading through John's Gospel in 30 days was a wonderful way to get a foundation in a Christian life. This is 50 days, and it seeks to do the same thing, just take you through John's Gospel, which is a great gospel. Because you realise this, that in ancient history, there is no ancient document which is better or more thoroughly attested to us than the Gospel of John. Now, that's a remarkable thing, I think. You think of when Julius Caesar wrote his history of the Gallic Wars, that was 44 BC, and Julius Caesar sat down and wrote those. The earliest copy we have of that is 1,000 years after Julius Caesar wrote it, and we have 7 good copies of that. John's Gospel, if it was written around about 70 or 80 AD, the earliest copy is 30 years later. Isn't that brilliant? And by the middle of the 4th century, we have about 5,000 copies of it. So therefore, any piece of ancient literature, if you believe, there is more manuscript evidence to believe the truth of John's Gospel. And so I think that's a wonderful thing, as you sit down and realise that this is true. This is an eyewitness account, and it is written to encourage me to put my faith in the Lord Jesus. It's a great gospel, and I was privileged to write that.
It's wonderful. There's lots of copies of this on the bookstall, I think $5 each. And if you've never done daily Bible readings, never given it a go, this will be a great help to you. Or if you've fallen off the wagon and want to get back on again, I really...
So you're not going to ask me anything about the World Cup? Nothing about that?
I think...
Australia, New Zealand, nothing about that?
No, I don't think we'll do prophecies in that realm. But next time you come back, we may well ask you...
Well, it'll be too late, therefore, for me to say this. Go and see a film which is in the cinema at the moment called Danger Close. And it's all about the Battle of Long Tan. You go and have a look at that. 105 members of the Australian Infantry Force went up against 2,000 Viet Cong. Have a look at the film, because the colonel who led that unit is quite accurate. And it's called Danger Close, because the artillery unit, which was attached to those 106 Australian soldiers, were New Zealanders. And the Viet Cong are pouring into the Australians, and the artillery is measured to 100 metres beyond the Australian line. But such is the force of the enemy that they radio through to the New Zealanders and say, drop it 50 metres. And the New Zealanders, who all come across as really caring, very accurate, drop it 50 metres. They could have easily dropped it on the Australian line, but 50 metres beyond the Australian line. It's called Danger Close. And that is a reminder to me that we are better off together than we are apart. And so if Australia don't win the World Cup, I hope you blokes do. And I was going for you against the Poms, who are just cheats.
I think we'll just move on to the Bible, if that's all right.